Welcome. It's Justice and Juice today.
Juice!
We are just waiting for Casey. Hopefully her computer will get itself back together. But for now, you've got the two of us.
You're welcome.
I mean, the three of us. The wizard's here, too.
The wizard is
here. What's up, everybody?
We out here. What's up, guys? It's Paige. I am currently
Paige, sorry. What are you drinking, Paige?
I am drinking a grapefruit sparkling water, like normal.
Wait, brand? Let me guess.
Waterloo.
Oh, no. That's not what I was going to guess. I was going to guess
La Croix.
La Croix.
Yeah, Waterloo. It's delicious. I thought about drinking, but I have just, I have so many work shifts.
You guys, Paige is working her little Irish all.
I am working two jobs currently. This last weekend, I worked six shifts in 4 days.
Whoa.
And
you need a rest day. Friend.
Yeah, you know, I'll get one of those eventually.
You know what you should do?
What?
You should order some fruit from Fruits and Roots.
Oh, damn. You right. Okay, before you tell everybody about Fruits and Roots, why don't you tell everybody what you're drinking?
Oh, what's up, everybody? Laska here, activist, artist, asshole. That's Casey Gordon. I'm drinking a Topo Chico.
Yes, so I also love Topo Chico. I drink Topo Chico and Fernet like after work all the time. Shots of Fernet. And
yo, I love Topo Chico. A soda water. Yes. What?
I said Topo Chico and a shot of Fernet.
That's good. No, I drink these all the time. Matter of fact, I probably, Tiffany gets none. You pretty much drink the entire bottle.
I drink the whole case.
I'll drink like three soda waters a day. And she's like, where'd all the fucking soda water go? Like, I'll just like slam them. And then if she leaves hers anywhere, she'll be like, where'd my soda water go? And I'd be like, I thought you were done. So I just finished it for you.
Sorry.
So this is not okay. And
not
I need help.
Just finished it for you.
We should be sponsored by Topo Chico.
Honestly, sponsor
Wizard,
us.
Wizard, Burnett, help you can
also
sponsor?
You can also sponsor us.
I'm holding it to the screen like the people can see it.
It's a lot of visual content.
It is a lot.
A lot of visual content for the audio listeners. Yes, welcome. All right, Laska, talk to us about our black business today.
Yeah, okay, so black business, if you guys listened to the last few episodes, we are supporting a wonderful black business called Fruits and Roots. They are a sustainable provider of high-quality fruit. You can get everything from these people. So something else, a goal of theirs is to get the best quality fruits to people, and collectively give back to children in the Congo, because Congo is being raked over the coals for their mineral wealth, and we are trying to help support them so that they can support these children in Congo. So if you love fruit, and I mean every kind of fruit because they have it, go to Fruits and Roots, fruits and then just an N, roots.com. And go on there, get yourself some sea moss, get yourself a detox kit, get yourself some lychee. I'm flipping my hair because I'm very excited about what
Again,
is on that website.
Again, a lot of visual content.
A lot. But I feel like they can feel it when I do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they can.
Like they have like so many different kinds of mango, like different kinds of the same fruit that I didn't even know was a thing.
Yummy.
So go there and do that and support this business.
Yes. Yeah. Fruits and Roots, y'all. Fruits. Well,
what a great name too, right?
I know, right? Fruits and Roots with a Z. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, they say something on their website real quick that I wanted to read that I just thought was really cool.
Yeah.
Let me find it.
Let her find
it. Okay, found it. Okay. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Elevator music too.
Yeah. Ding, ding, ding.
Right. So they say everything has a beginning, whether fruits or humans, where we come from and our foundation is important. And I just think that that's really great. That they combine humans with fruit and how that we have that in common. Yes, Wizard.
You know what this reminds me of a little bit is...
critical race theory. I'm just kidding.
No.
Just no segue.
I would
segue.
Love to see
no,
how you could yet. Bridge those. That was
no,
great.
No, no. The show that we were all watching on Netflix...
High and the Hog. Yeah.
High and the Hog. And the idea of like what a sweet potato is versus a yam.
I haven't watched that show. I haven't had the time to watch the show.
But basically, so I'm doing this. I think I'm about to do this wrong. A yam is local to where he was. And we have back in the States a sweet potato. Isn't that correct?
What
are we talking about? Oh, I don't know what High on the Hog is.
Okay, no, so I haven't seen it. Wait, tell people what this is.
But High on the Hog, basically the idea is the episode that I'm talking about, the first episode, the host goes to a country. Gosh, I watched this and I feel like I'm going to totally butcher this. I think it's his first trip to Africa in his entire life. And he goes and meets with this woman who explains to him all sorts of like ethnically local foods that are from this region, but we can get them locally, like in the States, let's say, right? But they come from this area. And so one of the main pieces of agriculture and economic like growth for this area is like their, you know, agriculture and like the yam. But when you come to the States, you eat a sweet potato, but it's not a traditional yam or something like that. I'm probably butchering that, but I love produce because there's something so special about like locally grown things. And by the time you get it to yourself in LA, it could be a whole version that's not even the same as like its original intent. It could taste different. It could be, you know, tart. It could be sweet. It could be salty or whatever. But I just love how, you know,
I've always struggled with the distinction between a sweet potato and a yam, but I've had both in great dishes. So I honestly just thought
that they were like interchangeable.
Are they related? So
yes. They are related.
Okay. I mean, this has been related. Root Vegetable Corner.
Go order fruits and roots and also go watch High on the Hog.
Vegetables.
Yeah.
So speaking of critical race theory.
Speaking of
learning about, I was trying to figure out a
speaking
tie-in,
of education.
Education. Okay. There you go.
The Wizard sent us this tweet this
week. Made me want to throw my phone across the room.
Alaska had a visceral reaction. I just read it because I am ignoring every text on my phone.
You guys, I
don't even know what day. I don't know what's happening. Like 100% of the time,
What did you do with her?
No. The only time I feel normal like myself is when I'm at the gym because nobody's talking to me.
Yes, Jim.
Yes, I've been gymming, girl.
Is that a verb? Let's do that.
Yes, it is. Wait a minute. Hold on a tick. Casey Rogers has entered the chat. She is out here.
It's me. I'm here.
It's you.
I apologize,
girl. What you drinking?
Tardiness.
I hope you're drinking something good.
You know what? Had I not been in such a kerfuffle to try and get here, my morning was kerfuffed. So I was going to make like a like light mimosa moment, but I didn't get to because my laptop blew up. I had to reassemble it. Microphone didn't make it. Like it, you know, we lost it.
Caught in the fire. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I'm out here on headphones, like, you know, somebody with no home training. But anyway, you guys, I hope the quality of this is not terrible.
You sound great, and we're happy you're back. We missed you.
All that said, finishing a breakfast smoothie. I have coffee that is likely cold right now because I didn't get a chance to reheat it because, again, morning has been kerfuffed. And then water. A vat of water, as Pajit would
say. Vat. Yes, a vat.
Are you drinking a vat of water today?
I'm not because it's over there and it's just farther away from me. Drinking my little sparkling water today.
Oh, that's fair. That's
sparkling
fair.
Water team.
Same.
So I heard that we were about to dive into some critical race theory
We sure were. So Zach the Wizard sent us a text, right, about that Louisiana textbook.
Yeah.
And I think that it would be great if he kind of explained what the tweet said, what it was, and then we can crack into it.
Mm-hmm.
Whiz.
And then I can fly to Louisiana and have a word.
Mm-hmm.
With all of Louisiana.
Just the whole, yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay, well, what I want to do, I want to read the tweet and then I want you guys to fill in the stuff because you guys know what's going on. So here's the tweet from Joshua Benton. He writes, "There are two approved Louisiana history textbooks for the state's eighth graders. This is how one of them introduces the Civil War. As tough times for a poor, young, white woman whose family owned 120 slaves."
Yeah.
So basically, the victimization of white people during the Civil War is how some states are teaching that part of history.
Yeah, because they had a hard time.
You guys, white people have had it the hardest throughout history, and you need to know that. Okay, it's been the hardest for us.
And what's an interesting thing too is what we talked about when we were discussing this as our conversation is like that is one level, not one level, but like critical race theory. Basically, this is like a skewered perspective that like they're right. the right is so concerned about telling stories of black slaves in this era who are leaving their country, coming to America, having these experiences from when they arrived to even like to today and how it's affecting their lives. Yet here they are doing that exact type of thing, but in a perverse version about white people. It's like there's very little like understanding of like what they're talking about that can be interpreted as like even knowing what their problems with critical race theory even is, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so here we are with like white supremacy education versus the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's just propaganda too. Like at a certain point, I really don't understand how we just continue to like, I don't know, look down on other countries, Russia, China, whatever, for like controlling the information that they put out to their citizens when like we do the exact same thing and we're like teaching people the just wrong information and sharing the wrong stories.
Also the use of like specifically a white woman to like be like, feel bad for Kate.
Yeah.
Because like that is so late. Like, do people still feel bad for white women? I don't.
No.
Like that is like so, but like they must. It must work in some circles because they're still fucking doing it. It is one of the most maddening tricks that is as old as time. I mean, I feel like it was at the root of Sojourner Truth's "But Ain't I a Woman?" You know, like it was like what am I supposed to feel bad for you about? You know, like I'm not even treated as a human being, much less a lady. You know, right. Like
right.
What, like, no, Kate can fuck off with her family. Like, I don't care.
This is just a forever circle of bullshit from the South. They, you know, it's something that it's like for all of time, they've basically been giving this kind of, and I say in air quotes, education to these people to make them feel like what happened there is not exactly what happened there. But that they can come back and say, like, oh, well, you know, we had slaves, but we didn't know and we treated them good. And like, those are like good excuses because they shouldn't feel bad about the situation that their families were in hundreds of years ago. But it doesn't matter. That's the thing. When I think about it, I'm like, you should know better than to own people, period. The end. Like, there's your textbook.
Can I read you, can I read you two paragraphs really fast? Let's see. This shouldn't take that long. The Stone women, this is Kate Stone, her family, would remain refugees, people who are forced to leave their home or country until the end of the war in 1865.
Okay, bye.
They were able to reclaim their plantation, but due to emancipation, the freeing of slaves, lost all their property in slaves. The family had to face the new reality of planting and harvesting their fields with freed people who, Kate regretted, now demanded high wages. This is according to her diary, by the way. Kate felt ambivalent about the end of slavery. No shit. But after the war, she did her best to adjust to a world that she felt had been turned upside down. She married, raised children, and devoted herself to memorializing the service of Confederate soldiers like her brothers.
Live, Kate.
She founded the Madison Parish Chapter of the United Daughters of the Confederacy and remained active until her death in 1907.
At least she was committed.
Far too late.
100%.
Far too late. 1907 is far too late for her to expire. Wish
this is like an onion. It's like this feels like the Onion article about the textbook that would be written. You know what I mean? This feels so impossible that you'd actually write a book like that. Like,
Yeah, the fact that that's a textbook is mind boggling.
It's terrifying.
It sounds like a joke. Like it really sounds like a joke.
It really does. It sounds like a sketch, like on a sketch show. Yeah. Like some Key and Peele shit.
Yeah.
And they're like sitting there reading and they're like, oh, the textbook about the white woman that's upset during the Civil War.
Like, it doesn't even sound like you would read this and be like, oh, Kate. Like, you know, like it sounds like you would read this and be like, so she was mad because she lost her slaves and that she had to pay them?
Are the teachers, like, are they looking at this curriculum and going, like...
Yeah, that tracks.
Like, right. Like, should I be
Well, then you also have to think about, like, the cycle of education, right? So, like, if they were taught these things, then they're going to have no issue with the textbook, and they're going to be like, oh, yeah, of course, la, 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 la. And then the South stays this, like, weird little, I don't know, union, their own little Confederate place. It's a disaster.
I mean, y'all, things are so weird. Like, in 2021, I just feel like things keep getting weirder and weirder. Yeah. Like, we are getting closer and closer to dystopian future. Because, like, the fact that critical race theory is even something that is being publicly debated is absurd.
Yeah.
Like, that in and of itself
is
like, a sketch.
I don't know that people understand how serious this actually is, because this is the basis of, like, what we teach our children, and the children are the future, right? They're the ones who are going to grow up and go and become all the things and in the politics and da 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 da. And this is why we have such a huge gap between, you know, what we're taught in the South versus what we're taught here in California versus what we're taught in the North. It's very different. And that's a problem. Like, it's an actual, like, a very serious problem. And I'm not sure exactly what you're supposed to do. Is there, like,
I think Republicans understand exactly how important it is, and I feel like they fear the more progressive younger generation that's coming up, and that all of this is in response to that. They see themselves like slipping away, aging out, expiring, if you will, and they're like, "Well, we lost, you know, Gen Z. Like, they went way to the left, and so let's get whatever the who is below Gen Z. Are there people younger than Gen Z?"
Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't know. It's a
voting tactic too. It's like they have no good ideas. The Republican Party isn't out there going higher wages, huh? Gay marriage, huh? Anybody? Hey, let's be tolerant of all religions. Anybody? And they're like they're not trying to become more inclusive.
Well, no, and they're losing their audience. Party.
So what they're doing is they go, "What wins for us? Social issues." They have to pinpoint what can win for them elections, and this is one thing they can do. They started with Black Lives Matter, with Antifa, with the border and immigration. This is just on the thing. They only can talk about social issues because they have no actual governing ideas other than cutting taxes for the rich.
No.
Which is why this textbook is perfect for them, because it's like rich white woman loses everything to immigrants. Be afraid of them. Build a wall.
Right. Absolutely. Right. And I think you're totally right as far as their talking points, but I think it goes so much. I feel like putting it in textbooks for children to consume is them taking it next level, like being like, not only are we going to push this propaganda to win this election, but we're going to make sure that these ideas stick around.
Exactly.
For a younger generation.
We need to save all the children.
And to me, it's a pretty, like, I think to us in our progressive bubble, it seems like a crazy shot in the dark, you know, like it seems like who could actually like read this book and take it seriously, or who could even read this book and like come into adulthood still believing these things, you know, even if you did read it as a kid. I feel like,
have you been to Louisiana?
That's what I was saying. I was like, maybe people? As a collective, we should travel to Louisiana.
I have been to Louisiana.
Dip ourselves in there for a couple and weeks, like, and see how that.
I have family who's from, you know, most of my family is from Louisiana on my grandma's side. So I do understand what that is, but also I'm Black. So I think that's, there's no way that I was going to read this book and be like, poor Kate. Like, that just wasn't.
Can you walk me through that? Can you tell me how you read this? Because I can't even imagine being a person reading this textbook who is not looks at Kate and go, "You don't represent me at all." Like, how do you look at this textbook personally? And imagine if you were reading this in eighth grade, like, how do you even go to class? I would feel, this is like absurd to me.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's hard to say what I would have, because it wasn't this bad when I was in school, you know, like it was very selective in the histories that they taught. And I remember I specifically had a Texas history teacher who, like, I remember him because he was the first teacher I had who railed against all the things that we weren't taught. Like, he taught us how messed up it was that most of us were going to go to a school whose mascot was, you know, a stereotypical Native person, and our mascot was called the Redskins. You know, like, he was like, "That's a problem." And then he was like, "Do you know who that school's named after? The man who killed the most Native American people on this land. That's messed up." You know, like, he was the first person who made me be like, "Oh, dang. Like, wait, this is a problem." Because before that age, you're just kind of like experienced. I didn't know what Redskin even meant. And I didn't even think about the fact that somebody obviously, who is not an Indigenous person walking around in this, like, not traditional garb, but trying to be traditional garb, how offensive that was. But he, like, really opened my eyes to it. So I do think that, I guess in that way, but I feel like all those things were a little bit more passive than a textbook literally being, like, feel bad for this person. Like, I didn't have a textbook saying, oh, poor Mirabu B. Lamar. He just wanted to have this land, but all these people were on it, so he had to kill them. Like, feel bad for him. Like, think about the PTSD he must have gone through after having to kill all those people. You know, like, it wasn't like that.
Yeah.
It was just way more passive racism you know, I, like, blindly became complicit to until a teacher was like, hey, no.
Yeah.
You know? So I can't imagine being a kid right now where it's, like, fully trying to be, which is, like, such an act of desperation. To try and make it this explicit is just so, like, I can't wait.
Well, and to try and create legislation about it. Yeah. Right? Like, it really is the most desperate thing I can think of to be so scared of the 1619 Project that you're trying to ban it from schools. Like, what is this? Like, Ray Bradbury? Like, who wrote this novel? Who wrote the novel of 2021? Because, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's
not
crazy.
How this works.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I can't.
No way they actually listened to that podcast.
No.
Because nothing about that podcast is controversial at all. Like, the textbook we just read is more controversial than...
not to them.
It's not... to me, there's, like, literally... It's just telling stories about human beings and what they're going through. Like, literally zero... I was shocked that what I was listening to was what was people being upset about. Meaning they didn't listen to it.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not surprised. Like, there's very little that these people can do that will surprise me. Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, of course, it's the Republican Party. That should be their slogan. Yeah. That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
We don't make sense.
We don't make sense. Oh, I was watching Black Monday the other day. and one of the characters is going through a thing where he's becoming, like, this, the Republicans, like, new candidate face of everything. And he's, like, just, you know, taking the ride, but also, like, asking questions along the way. And his campaign manager goes, "You're a Republican. Stop worrying about the truth." Like, and I was like, that's
you're like, that's almost that's too accurate.
Yeah,
it's right. Too accurate. Honestly,
like,
it really is.
The way that they're dragging Republicans on this show, I've been living for. It's been
what show is this called?
Black Monday. And
what is that?
Don Cheadle, Andrew Rannells, and Regina Hall.
Oh my god, fun!
It's so good. It's hilarious. This is the third season now. It starts.
What's it on?
Showtime.
Oh, I have to get Showtime. All right, that sounds fun.
Yeah, it's great. That. Everybody watch it. It's so funny.
I love that.
Anyway, yeah, sorry. I feel like I've just been rambling.
No, not at all. Laska, you got any
I'm
thoughts?
Just pissed off about the whole damn thing. Yeah. Save the children. That's all I really have to say about it. It makes me mad.
But
makes
not mad save it, the children save it, no. In the QAnon way.
No.
Oh, God.
That was definitely you can't say a anything. Hashtag that they took.
Like, why?
They took it. And they took it hashtag save the children.
What a shitty thing to do. We can't even fucking say save the children without, like,
fuck them. I can say whatever I want. I'll say whatever I want.
It was just a caveat. I just wanted everybody to make
No, that's just, unfortunately, like, that's important. In this weird, y'all, everybody is so weird.
Like,
even
these little kids in the South who come from, like, these people who like try to ingrain in them shitty things, you know what I mean, at home or whatever that they've gone through, these people who've that come from that history are telling their kids this, and then they go to school and then it's only, you know, basically reiterated to them. And then you're like, all right, well, we gotta save these kids, dude. They're gonna become completely brainwashed. Mm-hmm. And that's really terrifying.
Yeah, and I mean, I hope, that's hard to say though too, because I was gonna say, I just hope the parents are paying attention. Which I do, but then I'm like, but who are your parents?
All I'm saying is we talk about, like, where a textbook like this would be approved.
Yeah.
Then you're going to think, then it says something about that community. It says something about that city. It says something about their politicians. It says something about all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just like, I mean, we have to really, like, dig in there. It's not just like, you know, surface level of just showing up and being like, well, you know, we gotta take these textbooks out. No, we need to go in and we need to talk to like their, I don't even know, whoever the fuck runs Louisiana. We need to go talk to them.
Yeah, good luck talking to
them. My brain is also kerfungled or whatever the hell you called it, because I just am like, so I feel honestly like exhausted over this bullshit. Like, I'm just like, it's, every other day it's some other stupid shit that you're like, oh, the filibuster. Oh, we got the fucking textbook. I'm like, dude, just can we like be smarter? Like, is this hard? I don't understand.
Stop being weird.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah, stop being weird.
Like, I'm done. I'm done with the weirdness of 2021. Like, it's
getting, I'm definitely
like
done.
Technology is like further than it's ever been, and we don't have to act like this. Like, we can just be smarter.
No, technology is better. Further than it's ever been, and yet human beings have like not the emotional. We have like, we can't even like
regress.
We can't even withstand what we've created. We can't, like, our emotional states are fucked. We can't even like we can create like computers that do insane things that we can barely even like work with.
Okay, does anybody else feel like technological advances, like, as technology advances, humanity regresses? Like, we are going, like, we're becoming more like cavemen, and technology is advancing, and is that leading to the robot apocalypse? I don't know.
Honestly, at this point, maybe it'd be best to start it all over.
We've had many movies that have told us that the machines are going to take over.
Maybe the robot apocalypse is the way. It's a clean slate.
I mean...
Well, look. Let's go back to Kate Stone, right?
Zach's like...
The textbook says...
Let's go back.
The textbook says that she wakes up one day and her life has been turned upside down. I think this is what the Republican Party is so good at. So that they want to make you feel like the America that you knew, the America that you love, whatever that is going to change in a way that looks like something that you don't recognize. So as technology expands, as social justice issues get better, and again, from like, let's say the 1700s, social justice issues get better for lots of people and for minorities from sexual orientation, et cetera. It doesn't look like that America for some of these people. And so they're very fearful of that. So technology, the internet to supercomputers, right, all sound scary, and they want to live in the past. They want to live at their, you know, head in the sand, literally. And they don't want to see it. So their textbooks change, their Wi-Fi sucks. They don't want to see it. They have Fox News, but they don't get Netflix or HBO Max to see documentaries featuring all sorts of new people. So for them, they live in an insular world, and that's a huge amount of Americans. And that's really sad. And that has to be changed. And I don't know how that happens, but that's what's holding people back.
I will also say too, and I've said this before on this podcast, just anytime I hear Fox News, I just need to reiterate that they literally do is fearmonger. I like, they are, my grandmother is constantly scared that something is going to happen. Like, just anything. We're anywhere. And she's like gripping her bag to herself. She's like scared to walk outside because she mainlines Fox News.
Oof.
And so like, you know, like,
your grandmother's a Republican?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But yeah, it's okay. You know, it's fine. We're working through it. but like, you know, I mean, like, it's, they create this vision of the world that makes people see things through this, like, everything is scary, everything is bad, nothing is good. You're going to walk out of your house and some, you know, immigrant is going to come and attack you. Like, that's what they are pushing. And that is what all of the people that watch Fox News truly believe. And so, like, I think we need to get rid of Fox News.
Oh, yeah, obviously. I mean, I wonder how they can exist as a platform often. Like,
because
I just don't understand it.
Good ass lawyers.
But also, like, I feel like as America becomes less white, I feel like that, like, the perspective that you were talking about, Zach, you said the America that you know and love. And I was like, that doesn't exist for me. The America that I love is still in progress. I don't know that there's ever been a version of America that I have loved.
Casey. Fox News is giving a certain group of people what they want to see every single day. And they're finding new ways to exploit the fears that they have, whether it's Ilhan Omar or AOC, right?
Yeah.
Or migrant caravans, or even a vaccine, whatever they can get their hands on that will be divisive, that will keep their viewers watching what they want to watch. That's what they're going to do. And because there aren't a lot of alternatives, although there are OWN and others are showing up, they can maintain enough ratings to have value. Now we have to be, we have to pressure these brands.
Did you say OWN?
Keep OWN, O-A-N-N.
Oh, I thought you meant the Oprah Winfrey Network.
No,
and
I was like, what?
No, did Oprah do something weird?
No, it's like only
it's only a matter of time, Casey.
No.
It's only a matter of time.
I'm not.
We always have to kill our heroes.
Do not put that on Oprah.
No, but so these, even like Tucker Carlson, for example, his show has like no major sponsors anymore, but Fox loves him and they have billions of dollars and they have the viewers. So it's worth it to keep him on there because that's, if they were to pull Tucker, which they should have a long time ago, they would be big, they'd be, you know, canceling culture him. I don't even know how you even say that. And that would be, you know, antithesis to like the Fox, right, platform.
Yeah,
even though they're
it's not even just news either. It's also just TV in general on that side. Everything supports that narrative. You look at commercials over there are going to be very different than what we see here in California. You don't see the same thing. You don't see the same type of diversity. You don't see LGBTQ here. You're seeing like, oh my God, those two gay people in this commercial are great. Like, you're not going to see the same because they are specifically targeting a specific audience. That's it. Like, and so everything is going to support that. Fox is going to be on with those, you know, very all white around American kind of commercials, and that's what it's going to be. So they're only, you know, you're going to keep those people in that pocket, and those are the people who are going to, you know, vote for fuck faces.
Anytime. I just was noticing this too, because like I said, I think I said this last week at the gym, they have like CNN and Fox News like right next to each other on the TVs, and really watching the difference in what they cover, what they talk about, how they talk about certain things, mm-hmm. and then the commercials, like it's crazy. It's really crazy. It is so tailored to like a specific audience. And I really just hope, I mean, like I've said before, if you listen to this podcast and you watch Fox News, one, good for you for trying to like expand your horizons, but also maybe don't do that anymore because it's too much. So Fox News rant.
Paige, I know you have to go soon.
Yeah.
California just announced yesterday that it's fully reopened for business.
Yeah.
I want everyone's take on that. I'll start with me really fast. I think that, man, what a year, what a difference a year makes, right? For this virus. And I think we're just so lucky that our country, although we botched everything with the infection part, we've totally gotten the vaccination part right. And I just feel so lucky that we all were able to get a really high quality vaccine as quickly as we did. And I feel really bad for kind of connecting the dots to states like Louisiana and Fox News viewers who are not getting vaccinated, who will be in positions of, unfortunately, really poor health if they get infected. But we're so lucky in California, and where we live is going to be really safe for us to live our lives pretty normal. And that's just so exciting. So I'm super stoked on that. I want to know how you guys feel about everything.
I'm not ready. I read Gavin Newsom's thing today. Did you guys see his post? Where he was like, or was it, I mean, it was probably yesterday.
It was like a tweet, right?
It was a tweet. Where I'm finding it really quick so I can just read it. And I just remember reading it and being like, oh God. Because last night, okay. So it says, good morning, California. It's reopening day. We've administered over 40 million vaccines. Very proud of that. Now, no more social distancing, no more capacity limits, no more colors or county tiers. And if you're vaccinated, no more masks. It's a good day. I just feel like everyone's not vaccinated, you know? So I feel like no more social distancing and no more capacity limits, that still makes me uncomfortable. Not necessarily, I mean, for me, just because I think we've had over a year of being distant from people, so I'm just not ready to be that close to people. I've never really liked being that close to people in the first place. And having a year where, like, everybody just was obligated to not be that close to me was nice. But as far as capacity limits and things like that, I'm like, gosh, I feel like it's still so dangerous for certain people. And I think that those people are going to be the main people who are excited to get out, you know, and do stuff. And I'm just like, ah, that's so scary to me. Like, I came home last night. There is a bar right by my house, like a bar and club, line out the door, taco truck, like fully pop. Like, people are immediately out here. And I'm just not prepared. I feel uncomfortable. I feel afraid for the people. I won't be going to any clubs. But yeah,
I think that's fair. I would say, based off of what you just said, that we should be mindful that we all, like, you guys, we just went through a quarantine that, like, has never fucking happened. That has taken a toll on our mental and our emotional and our physical well-being and, like, where we are. And we're all different. So coming out of it is going to be different for each person. I found out about this after I went to the gym. I went to the gym, didn't know this happened, and was wondering why everybody had their mask off. I was fucking paranoid. I was at the gym like, what is going on? Why are all these people have their masks off? I had no idea what's happening.
That's terrifying. And
I was like, very, very, what's the word you use?
Kerfuffed. You were kerfuffed?
I was kerfuffed, very much kerfuffed. And I left out of there kind of in a very brisk walk. And then I read the thing and I was like, oh, that's why. Okay. Now I'm going to just repeat what I said the last episode, which is don't be a dick. And all I mean by that is, as you're like moving around and you're around other people, just be mindful that not everybody, it not only is vaccinated, like Casey said, but and people are going to lie about that and just walk around with their masks off and pretend like they're vaccinated. Really? But also, like, people are in different places right now and we're all slowly coming out of this. So I would say if you're near people, still wear your mask. If there's a place where you feel comfortable and away from people, don't. And take it at your own pace. I go to the gym, I wear my mask. Like, for now, I'm kind of slowly kind of coming into it myself. Yeah, I don't really wear it outside, but kind of. I don't know, it's weird, guys.
Yeah.
Paige, your take?
Savannah's been open for a month and a half. I haven't worn a mask in a month, so.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's just, you know, like, you wear them if, like, if there's a business that says, like, you have to wear your mask, like, right. Of course, you know, like, wear them to the airport and, like, you know, things like that. But, like, Savannah's just, it's just not.
So when you're working, you don't have to wear a mask? That's so scary.
Nope. I don't have to wear a mask. I don't have to wear a mask to the gym. I don't have to wear a mask anywhere. They repealed the mandate on the 31st of May. So it's been like.
Also, it's hard to wear a mask at the gym. No,
huh?
It's hard to wear a mask at the gym. Ugh, it's the worst. Like when you're doing cardio, shit is hard.
Yeah, it's the worst. Like, but like, you know, I mean, I did it for a while, and then they repeat. I was like the only one, and I was like, well, I know that like I'm vaccinated, and I'm not going to be spreading it to anybody.
Right.
So I was like, I'll take my mask off.
Right.
So I think, yeah, honestly, I think everyone has to do what they're comfortable with. And if you're comfortable without a mask, you know you're vaccinated. And, like, if you're vaccinated, you can go without your mask. Like, they've said the science is, you know, that you're not going to actively be spreading it if you catch it. So, like, you know, follow the science. If you are more comfortable with a mask on, wear that mask. Like, everyone's got to kind of do what works for them at this point. And like, don't be an asshole. If somebody asks you to put a mask on, put a fucking mask on.
I feel like when you're walking by people and stuff, like especially if the gym is such a weird thing. Like if you're away from people, I feel like it's okay. And like tomorrow when I go to the gym, I'm going to like feel out where that feels good for me. I feel like I'll go to the machine where I'm at and where I'm away from people and I can take a mask off so I can breathe better. And then when I'm walking around to grab shit.
I just feel like somebody's going to sneeze and I'm going to take off running.
Right. You know, that's someone. If someone like, sneezes on me, they might get punched like, out of just reaction.
Like I will sprint out of wherever I am.
That's fair. And that's completely fair.
That's terrifying.
Fair. Don't sneeze. Please don't sneeze on me.
I have three quick
things
to say.
We're done with sneezing.
I have three quick things to say.
Sneezing is canceled. Sneezing is out.
One is I think we're always going to, or at least for the next decade maybe, or even our generation, we'll always give people more space on sidewalks. We will cross the street and we'll just, it's just, it'll be a new thing that we're going to have. We'll be like 90 years old and like, yeah, why grandma and grandpa? They want to walk across the street from different people. It'll become our thing. Like we just give people space. We won't be close talkers as much. Like I'm a close talker, very intimate talker, but now of course I'm not. So I think we're going to have more of that. So we definitely will have certain things that may linger for a long time. But Casey, just for your own reassurance, one of my best friends, Paul, I was in Portland and he and his wife, unfortunately, actually got COVID while vaccinated. Now, here's what they were saying. They were more pissed off. Why? One, I couldn't see Paul.
Yeah.
Two, their little kids got it and they had high fevers. Oh. Anytime your babies are sick, you know, it sucks. But you want to know what was the worst? Well, that was probably the worst, their kids. But the third thing was they were vaccinated. They lived their lives in quarantine, and their friends who weren't vaccinated, who never wore masks, who traveled to Mexico and did all the travel, never got it.
Yeah.
That made them more upset, meaning they weren't that sick. They lost some sense of smell. They were just had like a bad cold. Not even a bad cold. It was a cold. They felt kind of run down and whatever. That's their COVID experience. So that's why when Gavin Newsom says states open, he's saying, yeah, you can still get COVID. You can still get sick, but you're not going to be sick.
Yeah.
And therefore you can go and live your life knowing that, oh shit. Sure. It still sounds scary. And I'm not saying like, I want to get it. I don't want to, whatever. I don't want to get it. But the good news is these vaccines are so good that we have real world data from places like Israel that have given the Pfizer vaccine, and they've seen how it's happened in a population that's gotten to these thresholds, and really you can live a normal life. And that's really exciting. So take your time. Don't, I mean, my God, anyone gives you grief on wearing a mask, call me up. I'll come over and do something about it. Because mask wearing will become commonplace for all of us as well. So I just think it's good news because we are in such an amazing place compared to the rest of the world, where we're going to be watching so far more people have already died this year from COVID than last year.
Wait, what?
Just more people on the planet have died this year than last year from COVID.
Have died this year from other things?
From COVID? No. More people have died from COVID this year than died of COVID last year. Meaning,
why is that a good thing?
Wait. It's not a good thing.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying, remember, like, realize this, that like COVID is not gone.
Thank you. Okay. This was a warning. I thought you were saying this as a celebratory thing. I was like,
we though get to be lucky bastards, basically. Yeah, lucky assholes that we get to have a life back.
Yeah.
And the rest of the world doesn't. And that sucks. But you know what? We are in this position and we have to take advantage of that. You know,
yeah, well, New Zealand's been living this life for forever because they have a smart prime minister.
But they're not vaccinated there, and nor is Australia. And
but they didn't need it because
I know,
they
but I'm saying that they aren't out of the. I know, but they are not out of the woods. Yeah. I'm just saying.
They should still get vaccinated because people will come visit and stuff.
I would absolutely.
But, oh yeah, they. But I'm just saying, like it's very real out there.
We're lucky.
Yeah.
But we're lucky.
Yeah.
So live your life.
And on that note, we're gonna wrap up.
Gotta wrap that up.
Thanks for listening, you guys. Let's all say something we love. I love that I'm doing a play right now and that I get to perform in front of a live audience, and that feels insane and amazing and awesome. And I'm gonna meet my manager in the flesh at the end of this month. I signed with them during the pandemic, so I've never actually met them in person, and he's coming to my play, so I'm excited.
That's very exciting. I love that I get a day off on Sunday.
Woo! Yes, day off.
I love my new puppy that I'm fostering, named DeMarco.
DeMarco! We all love DeMarco.
I love DeMarco too.
Yeah.
I love DeMarco too.
I'm starting working with a life coach, so I love that.
Yes!
Life coach.
Woo.
We love that.
Love that.
Everybody out there, think of something you love. Hold on to that gratitude today. And as usual, don't forget to comment, like, rate, share, subscribe. Is that the last one?
Yep.
Yes,
amazing.
Ma'am.
Got them all.
All right, y'all.
Bye.
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 Oh. That was ugly.
I know.
Whatever.
Rude. Disrespectful. I hated that.
That's me.